The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, that you say, Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. If I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do not know him, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, Before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord. Genesis 13, verse 9, starts off with when Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him. There's a lot in that. And to prostrate is not simply to make a genuflection, but it's to place your head on the floor. That's a prostration. Now that exterior prostration is an interior disposition of the heart. Those two have to correspond. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says one of the principal reasons why we struggle with prayer is because of our pride. That's the Catechism. Because of our pride. Prostration is the exact opposite of pride. It's an attitude of total humility. So not only should we prostrate ourselves physically, but interiorly by the disposition of our heart. Amen?
Yeah.
And Abram became the father of faith. Abraham is honored by the Muslims, the Jews, the Protestants, and the Catholics. He's seen as the father of those four different religions. He's known as the father of faith. Prostrate, we see in Jesus Christ. The first sorrowful mystery is what? The agony of the garden. What did Jesus do? He prostrated himself on the ground and said, Abba, Father, if this be possible, remove this chalice from me. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus prostrated himself on the ground. Do you remember the film of Mel Gibson? What did Jesus do? He prostrated himself on the ground. He threw himself on the ground. So I think one of the reasons why we struggle with prayer is because we do not have this interior attitude of prostrating ourselves before God. And that's a recognition of the fact that we are nothing. God is everything. With God, we can do only one thing, commit a lot of sins. That's about the only thing we can do without God. There are three little children in Portugal. An angel appeared to these children. What did that angel do? That angel taught the children how to pray. What did the angel do? He prostrated himself. He appeared three times. The third time he appeared, one of the most extraordinary happenings in private approved revelation occurred. All of us should get to know Fatima really well this year. This is the 100th anniversary, but what happened before Our Lady's apparition, we should know what happened. The angel appeared, and in the sky was a chalice in the sky, was a host. What did the angel do? He prostrated himself. He bowed down. And he was teaching the children how to pray. My God, I believe in you. I adore you. I worship you. I praise you. I beg pardon for those who do not adore you, do not praise you, do not worship you. He taught the children how to pray. How many parents here? Did you know that maybe probably the most important obligation in your life is to teach your children how to pray? Did you know that? No, you didn't? Well, now you know it. I would say, as a priest for, well, next month, 31 years, quite a few years, I would say that the parents are probably derelict, that's a pretty good English word, which means negligent or remiss, in teaching their children to pray. As a whole, in general, parents are pretty weak in this area. Don't get angry at me now, okay? But parents are pretty darn weak and teaching their children to pray. Pretty weak. So the angel taught the children to pray. Parents should teach their children to pray. As soon as they speak, you read in the lives of saints, obviously in the lives of the saints you have the children, the first words are going to be Jesus and Mary, I love you, in the lives of the saints. Well, we're all called to become saints too, right? Aren't we called to bring our children to God and to heaven, right? But as a whole, pretty weak. So the angel taught the children how to pray by prostrating. My God, I believe in you, I adore you, I worship you, I love you, I beg pardon those who do not adore you, praise you, and worship you. Next point is that Abram, his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. Long course in theology on that point, in a short sermon, huh? But when God is going to choose someone to carry out an important mission in the Bible, there's a changing of a name. Abram became Abraham. Do any of you know the name of the wife of Abraham? It was Sarai, then her name was changed to Sarah, because she would become the mother of Isaac. Abraham practiced patience. He became a father when he was 100 years old. What do you think about that, huh? And his wife had to wait until she was 80 years old. How about that, no? They didn't believe in contraception. Amen? Amen, huh? And they didn't even worry about natural family planning. They just, well, if God is going to give us a kid at 80 and 100, we'll wait for it, okay? The virtue of patience. Another point I'd like to make is names being changed. The most famous, of course, would be Saul, who became... That's probably the most famous. Saul of Tarsus became the great apostle Saint Paul. Now I'd like to mention a pastoral error that is very rampant over the past 10 or 15 years. When they baptized babies, they baptized, I think it was 8 or 9 last week, Saturday. Today, the names are weird. As they say in Spanish, raro, rarísimo. Weird names. Now last week I actually had to ask the parents 2 times, what the, I didn't say it that way. I was tempted, no? ¿Me puede pronunciar este nombre? No entiendo bien. Just weird names. That's wrong. Read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Catechism of the Catholic Church says parents should give their children Christian names. And they think they're very, as they say, que bonito. They think, hey, how cute that is, no? I think, how ugly that is, no? I don't say it publicly, but inside, I'm angry at that. And I can't throw a tirade there in the baptism. They'd call the bishop, huh? But it's wrong. Because, number one, they don't know it, but it's disobedience. We have to obey what the church teaches. But they don't know that. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, right? But, and this is dangerous on the way of salvation, is they don't have a patron saint. Hello? Hello? They don't have a patron saint. It's already hard enough to get to heaven. So what they do, I don't know, is maybe when they tell a novella, they pick up a name. Or maybe they go to 99 cents and get some dice, and they throw out dice with letters on it, and the first 12 letters is going to be the name of the child, no? Here, let's go. This is the name of our child now. Because really, these names, I've been around for 61 years. Some of these names, I've never heard these names in my life. That's wrong. They think it's, maybe this is very poetic. So that's something I have to mention, is that children should have the name of a saint. Not that my parents are perfect, but listen to these names, okay? Ready? Number one, Michael Joseph. Pretty good? My older brother. I don't think we can go beyond that. Shane would say it would probably be better if it were Joseph Michael, but cut me a little bit of slack, okay? Michael Joseph, I think, is probably about the best name you could give to a male. St. Michael the Archangel and St. Joseph. Can you go better than that? Some of you say, well, Michael Joseph Thomas. Okay, good. Boy, the Italians used to do, you know, in the time of St. Alphonsus, give 10 names. 10? Thomas Peter. Amen? Christopher James. Then I came second, Claude Edward, no? So my parents had boy, 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 and finally had a girl, Victoria, hey! Victoria is Our Lady of Victories, where I'm going to be going in Compton in about a month to give a Marian mission, right, Yolanda? Then James Patrick, amen? Mary Therese, amen? I don't think you can go beyond that. Mary, St. Therese. So not only did my parents give us the name of a saint, but they gave us two names of two saints. Amen? Good idea? So next time I see these pregnant ladies out there, I'm going to have to talk with them before that baby's born. Esta mujer es embarazada, cuidado con padre escobita. So when I come across this concept of names, names being changed, I'd like to give a homily on this. In about 3 weeks, we're going to have about 200 teenagers that are going to be confirmed. Probably about 200. Let's pray that they choose a good name. Pray that they choose a good name. So tonight I'm going to have a confirmation class with some of the parents. I'll talk a little bit about that. That they choose a good name. Nothing wrong with if the girl's name, if it's a girl, that she chooses Guadalupe. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. You can't go wrong with Guadalupe. You can't go wrong with Maria. You can't go wrong with Fatima. You can't go wrong with Lourdes. Can't go wrong with Mary. So these names are important because they're names of saints that will pray for us to get to heaven. So part of my work as an oblate priest is to preach against the modern heresies. There are so many out there, sometimes I don't know where to start. I simply don't know where to start. So let's pray that we really get to know our faith well. Get to know our faith well. Jesus is fighting against these Pharisees, that they're liars. And they say that Jesus was possessed by a devil. Couldn't be worse than that, huh? How much Jesus must have suffered. I'm just reading the gospel, how much he suffered, he wanted these people who are supposed to be the most educated. These would be the priests, the bishops, the archbishops, the cream of the crop in the time of Jesus. And they call Jesus a man possessed by a devil. So let's pray that we will get to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. Amen.